You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com, bringing you the freshest radio in Brooklyn since 2009. Hear directly from chefs to farmers, artists to architects, authors to brewers, and everyone in between. Check out all of our shows on our website or by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. The following message has been brought to you by Fairway Market. What's the buzz about honey? Well, those busy little bees are up to something, and it is delicious. The Fairway label honey is superb. Fairway only hires worker bees that are the best at what they do. This makes for a great tasting, high quality honey at an amazing value with the Fairway stamp of approval. And on top of being delicious, honey is a great substitute for other sweeteners and can even benefit your health. This includes better energy, respiratory improvements, and balanced blood sugar levels. It's a no-brainer. Get your Fairway honey today.
We are burning down the house here on Sunday, 31st July, 2011. My birthday, thank you. I'm Curtis B. Wayne, your host. Here we are. It's the middle of summer. Tempers rise high. It's not surprising that the American Revolution, or as the British would have it, the American War of Rebellion, was fermented in the heat of a Philadelphia summer. We have with us the writer and architect duo Dickinson. I hear you there.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Are you 39 again?
I'm 38 and holding, thank you.
I like that.
Yeah. Also in the studio, who may or may not have something to say, not exactly as Vox Populi, Voice of the People, but as an informed voice, we also have the architect Matt Arnold.
Happy birthday, Curtis.
Hey, thank you so much.
Good to hear
And thank
voice,
you for being here. The reason that I wanted to talk with Duo from his not very hot, I'm supposing, summer retreat someplace along Lake Champlain... You suck, man. You know, vacations are for wimps.
I know. I allow myself 6 days a year, and it's too much.
Well, I'm so glad that we could reach you through the wonder of telecommunication. The catalyst piqued my imagination and wanting to talk with Duo was an article that's in the summer 2011. Magazine of the Boston Society of Architects, our friends to the north, at www.architects.org/architectureboston/articles. Really dense, but in the good way, article that Duo has written about regulation and relevance, a reciprocal relationship. And I just want to read a couple things that you wrote, and then you can defend it or expand upon it. One, that you said back in the day, and we understand when that was, probably before any of us was born, architecture was viewed as the mother of the arts, this somewhat new age description. Well, what's old is new again. Aptly describes the sense that the practitioner of the mother of the arts was someone who had an all-encompassing knowledge, we hope, and open-ended skill set, we hope. A professional who could absorb, control, and finally triumph over perceived limits of buildability, environmental impact, and cultural relevance. And you note quite wisely that since World War II, the perception of the architect as the open-minded yet innovative leader in the mode of, say, Thomas Jefferson has been deeply compromised. And that, furthermore, to our current times or recent times, somewhere along the way, it became unfashionable for architects to be concerned with very many things that were not of the fine arts world. And you cite some epic fails, which we can talk about. Before we really get into the pithy things, I want to let you talk a little bit about whether you think that this is a result of architects' failure, or rather as a matter of the current atmosphere that we're seeing writ large with the budget crisis.
Yeah,
as political distrust.
I actually think it's you know, I cite architects as the really kind of an exemplar, undeniable, of I think a much larger trend in all professions that has to do with a lot of things. But if you look at doctors and you look at lawyers, there's an enormous commonality of going from the informed generalist to little flocks and gangs and circles of hyper specialists, and seemingly this has to do a great deal with probably just more information being promulgated. But it probably, to me, and I think this is the root of a lot of what goes on in architecture, there is this reaction to risk avoidance, to the idea that as things get more litigious, as the world becomes more media driven and epic fails aren't really swept under the carpet, they're exploded into public consciousness, you have architects responding as a profession, independent of aesthetics, into extreme specificity of deniability, where they can have any number of consultants to buttress their defendability of their designs or their attitudes, or even just the building process they're engaged in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think, but the dark side of that, the part of that which I think is specific to our little tiny bailiwick of, you know, under 100,000 people trying to make the world, generally trying to make the world a better place, is the sort of collapse of diversity of ideological, aesthetic, and just open-minded practice of education and celebration of built work, which has taken a profession which is like other professions, fracturing into hyper-specialization, but made it even more out of touch and even less relevant for average people by having at the core of its identity, of its own personal identity when it looks in the mirror, being way over to the fine arts side. And it becomes this inaccessible, arcane, and now highly regulated and overseen group of people trying just to build buildings.
Or maybe not. Well, there are a couple of different threads that I'd like to pursue with you today, which, by the way, those of you who are listening for the first time or the second time, know this. This is not rehearsed. This is not Charlie Rose. Duo and I have not discussed this before. Duo does not know what I want to talk about. He only knows that I want to talk to him about his article. And we've spoken frequently of the runway fashion trends in architecture, but something that you focused on, which was cancerous, viral spread of regulation that interests me too. I think it's all politics. I'll tell you why. Because three, I think we've lost the friendship of our constituency. While we rephrase our thoughts, let's have a little cream. Thank you.
My big
Welcome back to... Here we are, back again with Duo Dickinson, Matt Arnold, I'm Curtis B. Wayne. We're talking about regulation and respect. We're not in a unique position amongst the licensed professions. And the third thing that I wanted to talk about from your pithy and thoughtful and thought-provoking essay in the Boston Society of Architects magazine is that it's not just us who are getting the pantsuit of us. It's the doctors.
Yeah.
And I think it's because the trial lawyers have got the politicians in their pocket.
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt there's a symbiotic relationship between regulation and the creation of wealth for lawyers. There's no doubt about it. But I do think that in a democracy, the loudest voice usually gets the most attention. And obviously, lawyers and other special interests have a very loud voice of finance, throwing a lot of money in front of people that make policy. But the truth is, I also think that if doctors, architects, and any number of other people that are seen as real targets of profit centers of law firms.
Well, sure. I mean, the people who are most trusted, if anything goes wrong, it's not perfectly as expected.
Right.
Like, we should live forever, and our houses should cost nothing to heat, and the roof should never leak. Then, therefore, because the expectations are so high that we got to pay.
Well, it's true, and I do think, but I do think that the window of opportunity is twofold. Number one, obviously, the lawyering has become sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy of priming the pump to get vehicles to sue. But I also think that we have not done ourselves as architects and as doctors, and most of my doctor friends say this too, those professions have not done ourselves any favors in the way we often are seen to treat those who we serve. We actually treat them as if they are privileged to have us in their presence,
right,
as opposed to us being served.
Exactly, Duo. The doctors got hammered for lack of bedside manner long time ago. Most of our colleagues haven't understood that yet.
Yep.
I think this current depression in which we find ourselves will have reformed a lot of the arrogant SOBs in our profession.
Well, I see it already. What's very fascinating to me, and this is a subject of a whole other show, is that
already, listeners, he's wangling for another show.
But I'm a relentless self-promoting whore. But anyway, what I do think is fascinating to me is that it's dawning on people right now, the whole country, not architects, not doctors, everybody, is that very similar to the mindset in, say, 1936, this isn't going away anytime soon. This isn't one of these things where in the late 1990s, early 20s, we could have a technological boom pull us out of a little recession, or you could have a housing boom pull us out of a recession, or you could have some sort of amazing invention pull us out of a recession like the internet.
Exactly. This is not the dot-com bust.
No.
This is not the stock market crash of 1987.
No, this
is 1929 all over again, but in a different way.
And I think just like that created a very interesting generation that saw what money really meant and actually saw what what families could really do for each other and also looked at government in a different way. I think this recession we're just beginning to see is, and somebody by the way got very angry at me and said, you cannot call this you cannot call this something the second. You really have to call this the Great Recession with a capital G and a capital R. It really is the Great Recession. And I think there's truth to that because of the sustain it has, and also there's not a single place in the entire United States which is not in some level of recession, and many places are in far worse states than we are here in the Northeast.
Then why not call it the Depression of 2008?
You absolutely could. I mean, that could be the next level of it, because when unemployment's going to be over 10% probably next year, I don't see us having any sense other than looking at professions like architecture, which are viewed as being somewhat important but unessential, and professions like doctoring, where many doctors make hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for doing very routine, simple procedures. I think you'll have a lot of people turn on those professions and basically demand redress, and I think that's a natural human reaction. And the beauty of it is that with architecture anyway, we can look at ourselves and say, how have we created our own irrelevancy? How have we actually added to the common sense that we are not worthy of the value we have of ourselves? Why is our self-value not reflected in the common perception?
Well, I have my answer to that.
Go for it.
I have my answer, and that is that after the Second World War, I know that you're averse to the notion of the Second Great Depression, but after the Second War, European and Pacific War, in which we were embroiled. Our most eminent conveyors, I mean architecture schools, okay? Harvard became headed by Gropius, whom we all revere. And the Armour Institute, which became the Illinois Institute of Technology, was headed by Meese.
Yep.
And both of them came out of the First World War, post-war ethos of just let us make form, because they were reacting against the eclectic sentiment that had been pretty much, except for the Vienna secession, the accepted mode of architecture. And although Meese was structurally adept, he was a good engineer. He understood engineering. Any Gropius building could have been done in wood, concrete, steel. It didn't matter. It was all about plastic space. And those of you who have gone to architecture school will understand that. Those of you who are civilians, and there are a lot of you who listen to this program, what I mean is about the manipulation of space, the sequence of spaces, the